Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:05 British Summer Time. Today is October 6th. This has been another positive day in the majority of stock markets. If we look over the last 8 weeks, it's really been one up one week, down the next, up one week, down the next. Last week was a most markets experienced an abrupt decline. This week, this is the third impressive day to the upside. The Hang Seng was closed yesterday before the Mid-Autumn Festival. All of the domestic or the mainland Chinese indices are closed for the full week, for Golden Week. But the Hang Seng was up over 5% in here today. Now, funnily enough, you look at the daily chart, it certainly looks like it's up, but it doesn't look like a such a large number like 5% because the market has fallen so abruptly. But a 5% upward dynamic following such an abrupt decline and from such a deeply oversold level does suggest that the market has found at least a short-term low. This was a positive day in Australia. The ASX was stronger by 3%, the Nikkei stronger by 1.75%, and it was a generally firm tone across the Asian region. Thailand, in particular, was strong in here today. Thailand was also one of the last markets to fall below its 200-day moving average. It was a reasonably firm day right across Europe. The FTSE was up 3.7%. It was one of the stronger markets in Europe generally. The DAX was up just over 3%. The IBEX was up 2.6%. In the Americas, the Dow was finishing out the day up 1.68%. The S&P 500 up 1.8%. The Nasdaq Composite up 1.88%, the TSX up 2.8%, the Bovespa in Brazil up 2.5% as well. So a generally firm tone on stock markets. U.S. Treasuries down by a point; they're down to 142.10. We've had a bit of intraday volatility. Two important announcements in Europe today. The Bank of England is going to restart its bond purchase program. Our gilts, having rallied briefly following that news, are down the bones of a full point, 0.88 of 1 point. And the ECB had its Jean-Claude Trichet had his last meeting as the ECB president, and they didn't move rates, but they are talking about making liquidity available to the banking sector. So that's a European equivalent of a liquidity injection. The quantitative easing announced by the Bank of England is definitely a liquidity injection. These types of liquidity injections haven't been particularly bullish for sovereign bond markets in the concerned countries over the last couple of years. What has tended to happen is that investors or speculators began to purchase the bonds in advance of these types of announcements, only to sell when the news actually comes out. We don't have conclusive evidence that the gilt, Eurobond, and Treasury markets have peaked, but they have definitely lost momentum. They are at historic levels. They are way overextended relative to their 200-day moving averages, and with the supply of bonds beginning to increase as quantitative easing measures and liquidity driven measures increase at these overextended levels, then the likelihood of a medium-term peak is becoming increasingly more likely in the current environment. Now, a lot of people are also looking at credit spreads, CDS spreads, and sovereigns. Irrespective of region, country, or ability to pay, or actual default probability, have all expanded over the last couple of months, and particularly over the last few weeks. Now, one has to simply ask the question: is that really about whether those countries are going to default? And the answer has got to be no. These countries are not going to default on the. Not every country is at risk of defaulting on its debt, but that hasn't stopped the spreads from widening. What this widening of spreads is more indicative of is a pressuring of leverage trades. The rally that we've had in the US dollar has put pressure on just about all leverage trades. The US dollar has been the funding currency of choice for leverage traders. The weakness of the dollar against just about everything over the last 2 years has been a boon for leveraged traders, and with the US dollar's rally over the last few weeks, that has put a great deal of pressure on, particularly on people that are trading on margin. The US dollar was weaker against just about everything in the last couple of days. It's been also very overextended relative to any mean that one chooses to use. We normally look at the 200-day moving average because it reflects a year of trading. The dollar today was weaker by about 90 ticks against the euro. It was slightly stronger against the pound following that quantitative easing. Against the Australian dollar, it was weaker by almost a full cent. And the Canadian dollar, having been stronger against the dollar or the US dollar early in the day, is finishing out reasonably unchanged. The US dollar is unwinding, or at least partially unwinding, its overbought condition. It remains within the confines of a consistent uptrend against a large number of these currencies. The US dollar is rallying from a very depressed level. We've had a great deal of deleveraging. Most markets are rallying from the lower side of their trading ranges. Commodities have pulled back remarkably sharply, particularly where most of the leverage had been present in markets such as copper. Prior to the declines that we've seen over the last 2 months, the common perception was that there was a massive deficit in the copper market, and that was what was supporting prices above the $4 level on the COMEX contract. Well, it fell by 25% in the space of 3 weeks. Now, that isn't because we've had a major change in the supply-demand fundamentals for the copper market. It's because we've had a massive amount of deleveraging. That has also created a large number of deeply oversold conditions right across the commodity and equity markets. The platinum market broke down from its overhead trading range. It gave up almost $200 in the space of a few weeks. It found support in the region of above the $1,400 area yesterday. It rallied by a further $31 in here today. Palladium is a very similar story. Silver broke downwards sharply a couple of weeks ago. It found support in the region of $26. It's subsequently bounced back above 30, and it put on an additional dollar and 62 cents in here today. It's back up to almost 32 cent at $32. Gold pulled back and found support in the region of $1,500, no, sorry, $1,550, and is back up towards $1,650. So we're starting to see an unwind of these short-term oversold conditions in the commodity sector, and that's also apparently starting to occur across the Asian region, which has also had some deeply oversold levels register. In comment of the day today, you'll see the monthly report that we do of the various fundamental stats for each of the for a large number of global indices. Hong Kong and Singapore are back into single-figure multiples, and with yields of 3 and 4%, they've both experienced sharp declines. There's been a great deal of unleveraging in those markets, but they are oversold in the short term. Europe is starting to get its act together. Slowly but surely, we're starting to see politicians coming or coalescing around the idea that the European banking sector is going to need to be bailed out one way or the other. And the French and Belgian governments are not going to allow Dexia to disappear. They are going to break it up. The shareholders aren't going to be particularly happy with what happens to that bank, but the various pieces are going to get sold off and depositors are going to be protected. So they're not going to allow a large bankruptcy in Belgium. The Germans are much less likely to allow a major bankruptcy in Germany. So the European banking sector has at least stabilized. It is potentially forming a bottom. The S&P 500 banks has also stabilized. So while sovereign spreads have continued to widen, whereas CDS have continued to widen, whereas risk premium have continued to widen, actual investment vehicles show signs that demand is beginning to return. I'll feel a lot more confident when I start to see markets on Wall Street or in much of Europe putting on 2 consecutive weeks to the upside, because it really has been up one week and down the next. It was down last week, it's up this week. The FTSE has practically rallied right back up to the upper side of its range in the space of 3 days. This type of volatility is debilitating to most investors. This has been a trader's environment, and to participate, I think one would really have to be relatively risk tolerant. There isn't a great deal of evidence that medium-term bottoms have been put in by these markets. The fact that they've spent much of the last, particularly stock markets, have spent much of the last 2 months going sideways is allowing the oversold conditions relative to the 200-day moving averages to be unwound. But they'll need to sustain breaks up out of these ranges. They'll need to get back above their 200-day moving averages. They'll need to find support at progressively higher levels on pullbacks. They'll need to push back up into their overhead trading ranges. That's a long list of requirements for a lot of these markets. The various bearish and bullish views that are being expounded are becoming increasingly polarized. What we are beginning to see is that central banks are coming around to the idea that the market needs additional help, and I think it would be hard to argue with that fact. Asian monetary policy remains skewed towards tightening, and particularly for India and China, the reversal of a tightening bias is probably a requirement at this stage to spur investment interest in those countries. It's probably somewhat similar in a number of the other Asian countries. But at present, the Eurozone crisis remains the focus of attention. They now are pushing out the next major confab between the various finance ministers to the 3rd and 4th of November. That's actually going to be the days of the chart seminar in London, so that's going to be an interesting few days in terms of markets. And there is the strong likelihood that the EFSF deal will be up and running by that stage, and that will create additional firepower. The amount of volatility that we've had has been rather difficult to deal with. It makes it very difficult to come up with a high conviction idea about what's going to happen next. We do need this additional evidence. At present, we're seeing the majority of markets bouncing from the lower side of their ranges, and that would suggest that we can give them the benefit of the doubt because they're more likely not to go back up to the upper side of their ranges. But they need to do more before we can draw a conclusion for beyond the short term. Oil today was stronger by $3 on Brent crude. It was stronger by $2.78 on West Texas Intermediate. Oil needs to come down further. Banks need to recover. The money market spreads need to tighten somewhat. Those would be certainly ticks in favor of a recovery scenario. The potential for an unruly default in Greece remains a legitimate concern, but one has to ask the question how much of that is already in the market and to what extent that would be allowed to have an effect on the rest of Europe. The majority of politicians at this stage are intent on survival, and I don't think that they're going to stand idly by and allow a massive contagion into their respective financial sectors. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening and wish all the best to all of you.